Welcome. Welcome to St. James. Happy New Year. We welcome Adele Miles with us today. She is helping us out while Michael is away. So thank you, Adele. Our service continues.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Eternal God, who by a star led wise men to the worship of your Son, guide by your light the nations of the earth, that the whole world may know your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through our gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise ones from the east came to Jerusalem asking,
Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise ones and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out. There ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of Christ. Please be seated. I love Barbara Brown Taylor. Barbara is an Episcopal priest, academic, and author. In preaching and in theology, she is my hero. So this morning, I thought I would share with you one of her sermons, only very slightly edited by me, a sermon entitled Home by Another Way. The story of the Magi ranks right up there with the Christmas and Easter stories in terms of snaring the human imagination. Poets as distinct as William Butler Yeats and William Carlos Williams have wrapped words around the visit of the wise men. Longfellow even gave them names: Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. Hundreds of artists have painted the scene, including Botticelli and Fra Angelico. Have you ever seen Ghirlandaio's Adoration, painted in 1487? It's there for you to have a look at. In it, the eldest Magus kneels before the Christ child, who coyly lifts his own loincloth to let the old man admire his full humanity. In more recent years, Garrison Keillor has told the story on National Public Radio's Prairie Home Companion, and James Taylor has written a lilting song from which the title of this sermon comes. So much has been made of this story about which we know so little. They were not kings, of course, and there were not three of them, at least not according to Matthew. We do not know who they were, where they came from, or how many of them there were. We do not know how long it took them to get to Bethlehem, or how old Jesus was by the time they got there. We're not even sure about that famous star. It's not that the facts don't matter. It's just that they don't matter as much as the stories do. And stories can be true whether they happen or not. You do not have to do archaeology to find out if they are genuine or spend years in the library combing ancient texts. There is another way home. You just listen to the story. Let it come to life inside of you. And then you decide on the basis of your own tears or laughter whether the story is true. If you are in any doubt, it's always a good idea to watch other people who have listened to the story. Just pay attention to how the story affects them over time. Does it make them more human or less human? Does it open them up or shut them down? Does it increase their capacity for joy? Once upon a time, there were three, yes, three very wise men who were all sitting in their own countries minding their own business when a bright star lodged in the right eye of each one of them. It was so bright that none of them could tell whether it was burning in the sky or in their own imaginations. But they were so wise, they knew it didn't matter all that much. The point was, something beyond them was calling them, and it was a tug they had been waiting for all their lives. Each in his own country had tried books, tried magic, tried astrology and reflexology. One had spent his entire fortune learning how to read and write runes. Another lived on nothing but dried herbs boiled in water. The third could walk on hot coals, but it did nothing for him beyond the great sense of relief he felt at the end. They were all glad for a reason to get out of town, because that was clearly where the star was calling them. Out. Away from everything they knew how to manage and survive. Out from under the reputations they had built for themselves, the high expectations, the disappointing returns. And so they set out. One by one, each believing that he was the only one with a star in his eye, until they all ran into one another on the road to Jerusalem. From a distance, each thought the other to be a mirage at first, a twinkling reflection made out of vapor and heat. But as they drew near to one another, they saw the star they had in common, and it was like a tattoo or a secret handshake that made them brothers before they spoke. They were unanimous that the star was leading them to Jerusalem, which made perfect sense, since they had every reason to believe they were on their way to meet a king. They had no trouble gaining entrance to the palace. They looked rich, and that was enough to get them a royal audience. Only the king they met was something of a disappointment. He was old and fat, and he had terrible breath. His skin was yellow, as if his bile had gotten the best of him, and the guards on either side of him shook so that their spears jingled against their shields. Without even conferring with one another, the wise men knew he was not the one. So they asked him if he knew of any other kings in the general area. The king had been picking at his fingernails until then, but their question seemed to get his attention in a big way. He looked right at them for the first time, and when he saw the stars in their eyes, his own eyes grew round, perfectly round, like the eyes of a snake. Asking the wise men if they would please excuse him for a moment, the king stepped into his chapel to confer with his clergy, who whipped out their concordances and told him what he wanted to know. Yes, there was a little something in the book of Micah about a new ruler for Israel, but nothing to get excited about. It had been there a long time. It seemed unlikely. But sure, why not? Send those wise men to Bethlehem to do the reconnaissance work and save a little bit on the national security budget. So that was what the king did. He gargled, combed his hair, and went back to tell the wise men they should go to Bethlehem at once with his blessing, on the condition that they come back and tell him who his successor was so he could send flowers. His breath smelled like pine sol, and the wise men left feeling queasy. But once they were back out in the night air, they could see the star clearly again and followed it right to the doorway of a one-room house in Bethlehem. It was a perfectly nice house, modest but well-built. It was just not the kind of place they had expected to find a king. A dog was sniffing the woodpile under the eaves in hopes of a mouse. Someone was practicing the lute next door, going over the same phrase again and again. The smell of dinner was still in the air. Wheat cakes cooked on a griddle greased with sheep's fat. Lentils with lots of garlic and rice. If they had chosen the place themselves, they might never have knocked. But the star had chosen it. So they did. And when the door opened, the couple inside almost died of fright. Not that the wise men noticed. With their arms full of gifts, they crowded into the small space, bumping their turbans on the rafters and snagging their robes on the rough furniture. All they could see was the baby, who was not afraid, and whose right eye shone with the same star they had seen before they ever left home. It was he then, whoever he was. They did not have a clue, but they knew what to do. They got down on their knees and worshipped him. Then they gave him the things they had brought him, all the wrong things they could see now, things he had no use for. They should have brought goat's milk, a warm blanket, something shiny to hang above his crib. Only how could they have guessed? The child's parents were gracious. They thanked the foreigners for their gifts and held them up for the baby to see. Then, to the wise men's complete alarm, the child's mother picked him up and handed him around so that each one of them held that damp, soft, living weight in his arms. Then she took him back and nursed him until they all fell asleep where they sat. In the morning, the wise men could not find their stars anywhere. They looked in all the corners and under the chairs. The baby's mother even shook out his blankets. But after an initial panic, the wise men said, "Never mind." They did not need those stars anymore. They had found what they were looking for, and they could not lose that. As much as they hated to, they guessed they had better be on their way. No, they would not be going back through Jerusalem, they said. All three of them had had a dream that said steer clear of Jerusalem, as if they needed to be told. If anyone in Jerusalem knew anything at all, they would be here instead of there. Besides, none of their own maps worked anymore. They would find a new way home. So the wise men picked up their packs, which were lighter than before, and then they lined up in front of the baby to thank him for the gifts he had given them. "What in the world are you talking about?" the baby's mother laughed, and they told her so she could tell him later. "For this home and the love here," said the first wise man, who could not remember how to say it in runes. "For baby flesh," said the second wise man, who had no interest in living on herbs anymore. "For a really great story," said the third wise man, who thought telling it might do a lot more for him than walking on coals. Then the wise men trooped outside, stretched, kissed the baby goodbye, and went home by another way. Amen. Standing as you're able, let us confess the faith of our baptism as together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I invite you to assume a position of prayer. Let us pray to the God who loves us and knows the terrain we travel. We thank God for all those who brought the good news of Jesus to us and all who nourish our faith today. We pray that the whole people of God may work in unity and openness for the coming of God's kingdom. Lord God, we offer you ourselves. We thank God that salvation is for all people and pray for a just and accepting world where none is rejected, despised, or treated with contempt. Lord God, we offer you ourselves. We thank God for the privilege of parenting and of living in communities. We pray that our homes and churches may be welcoming and generous-hearted. Lord God, we offer you ourselves. We thank God for all who care with such thoughtfulness and practical loving, for those who are vulnerable, and especially for the very young. We pray for healing and wholeness, peace of mind, protection, and hope. Remembering today in our parish family, Eunice Smith, Sylvia Brightwell, Frida, Liz Bailey, Ashley, niece of Beth Kingham, and Gavin, grandson of Grenya Shearer. Lord God, we offer you ourselves. We thank God for all who have reached the end of their earthly journey in faith, that they may be welcomed into God's eternity. May we use the time left to us here as good stewards of God's gifts. Lord God, we offer you ourselves. We thank God for including us in the plan of salvation and pray that we may be made worthy of our calling. Merciful Creator, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. My sisters and brothers, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please greet one another. Gracious God, accept the offering of your church, the hearts of your people, joined in praise and thanksgiving, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have revealed your eternal plan of salvation and have shown your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of all peoples. Therefore, with angels and archangels, we raise our voices in joyful praise to proclaim the glory of your name. You have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light, where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom.
Happy are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
On the body of Christ broken in love.
Thank you.
God of all the nations of the earth, guide us with your light. Help us to recognize Christ as he comes to us in this Eucharist and in our neighbors. May we welcome him with love, for he is Lord, now and forever.
Amen.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And now may God the Creator grant you the grace to see yourselves as God made you. God of love grant you the grace to value yourselves as God values you. God of life grant you the grace to dream God's purpose for you and the courage to live that purpose from the depths of your being. And the blessing of God, Creator, Lover, and Giver of life, be with you and those whom you love and care for this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Go forth rejoicing in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit to love and serve your God.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, you can do better than that. I had to do this with the 8:30 service too. Are you happy about going out to serve God? You don't sound it. So I'm going to say alleluia, go forth, etc. And you're going to say thanks be to God with some enthusiasm. Alleluia. It's a feast day. How about that? Alleluia. Go forth rejoicing in the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit to love and serve your God.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
That service was here for one more week, right?